Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 8. Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet, and David Todd from The Hammer Speaks. Dave, here we are, Week 2 of the preseason. We got live football tonight, the first one at Heinz Field. I'll be in attendance this evening. The people want some more podcasts, so we're going to try to give them more podcasts. This is our pregame Steelers podcast. One of these times, we might have to try to do this semi-live right before a game, as close as we can, so people can maybe get involved with us.
Yeah, I'll probably need extra Xanax for that, but who knows, with all the software they got out there now, we should be able to whip something like that up over the course of the year.
Yeah, maybe get a post-game up if we can figure that out, have people be able to call in, give our thoughts for 20 minutes and take some calls for half an hour. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
Dave, first of all, I know you got something up on your website about the best blog in Pittsburgh. This is one of those things that we see come along periodically, and I think everybody who's been to your blog knows you got the greatest Steeler blog and one of the best blogs in the country. But I know you always appreciate the support, and I've been on there and voted. So all our listeners, go to SteelersDepot.com. You'll see it on the front page. It's there are a bunch of good Pittsburgh sports blogs. There's some good baseball ones that I'm involved with, but Dave's is fantastic. So get on there and give him a vote. Let's get into the stuff that's going on tonight. First of all, who's down tonight? We got a bunch of injuries, a bunch of guys not playing, some guys being held out. What's the final list?
We're down a bunch of cornerbacks right now, of course, with Ike Taylor out with a broken thumb. He, of course, had surgery, I believe, on Tuesday, so he's down. Bryant McFadden. McFadden, there's a little concern there because, you know, Tomlin listed it as a hamstring, slash quad. And, you know, there's some rumors flying around out there. It might be a slight tear in there. So, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. So he's down tonight. Chris Kimoato, even though he's been practicing this past week, Tomlin's going to just take it easy with him. I suspect we'll see him in the third preseason game. Joining him, in addition, two more cornerbacks. Of course, the rookie Cortez Allen, that kid's having problems with a hamstring and his conditioning, which is not surprising coming out of a small school and not 100% dedicated to football with the things at the Citadel. Cresden Butler, he's been fighting this quad for quite a while, and it crept up and bit him last week in a Redskins game, so he's down. Emmanuel Sanders is also, of course, down with that foot still. And a guy that I had high hopes on is an undrafted free agent who, you know, really he's run out of time now, is Mario Harvey.
Mario Harvey.
It looks like this guy's, there's no way he's going to make it even to the practice squad at this point. So he's down. Some guys to keep an eye on, maybe, you know, Aaron Smith with a little bit of a knee issue and Brett Kiesel with the ankle. I suspect Kiesel will play for how long, I don't know. Smith, I think, is going to be a game time decision. But and of course, there could be some pop up in sort of inactives around game time, and we'll keep you posted on that on Twitter tonight.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have pretty strong opinions on injuries and stuff. And when a guy gets injured, if it's a bone injury, science has come to the point where you get a very good sense through X-rays, MRIs, and CAT scans exactly what's going on with a bone injury. You have a very good sense of when things are going to heal, you know, within generally even a couple days. You know what's going on. The thing that is difficult and the thing that, we saw in the Pirate season this year, both with Pedro Alvarez with a quad and with Jose Tabata with a hamstring. These are things that can be chronic. They can be season-long, debilitating things, and you never quite know the severity of the injury. The player is always wrong. Just whatever the player says, completely discount. I mean, we saw it with Emmanuel Sanders talking about his foot. We've seen it with a bunch of guys. You see this all the time. But I worry about quads and hamstrings big time in terms of recovery. You sprain an ankle, you can see it. It's a visual thing. You see when the swelling goes down. It's pain tolerance type issues. But you just can't really do that as well with hamstrings and quads. And, you know, we talked about McFadden. I think that is a real concern. You and I both have complained about Steeler depth and quality at the corners for, you know, since we started doing these podcasts. And it is a key focus tonight, particularly with all these guys down and the Eagles probably game planning a little bit and trying to run their offense for a half. It'll be a good test for these guys. But, yeah, certainly worth focusing on.
Yeah, and with all these injuries, you know, it presents opportunities for other players. Of course, Keenan Lewis is a name that pops out to everybody. I didn't think his game overall was bad, you know, last week. I mean, he certainly didn't shine, but it wasn't god-awful either. So he'll get some extended time tonight. I suspect Donovan Warren, a kid that I had on the Terrible Podcast way back a few months ago during the lockout and all, you know, he didn't play too terribly bad last week as well, you know, considering who he was going up against. I suspect he might get, you know, some extended time on the outside. And we'll get our first look tonight at Curtis Brown, too, the rookie who evidently had a good week of practice this week. He's coming off one of those hamstring-type injuries, too. But, you know, I'm interested to see where he might line up, you know, whether it be outside or you know, in the nickel and all. And, of course, William Gay will be out there as well tonight.
Yep. The interesting stuff. Now, it sounds like the Steelers, their first-team guys will play 20 to 25 plays-ish. Sounds like maybe into the second quarter, and then we'll see the backups. Let's talk about first of all a couple things that happened during the week, and I think, candidly, I'm surprised. Lima Swede waived injured. I'm not surprised that he's not going to make the squad. I'm surprised that we've got 80 guys in camp and Lima Swede's not one of them. And it's a very telling thing. The combination of injuries and just lack of being able to shine in the big moment. I don't know coming into camp if the handwriting was on the wall clearly that Lima Swede wasn't going to get a look, or if it was they came in and it's just the guy just doesn't have it. But it's clearly he doesn't have it because they let him go way before they needed to.
It didn't surprise me at all, though, David. I mean, I've got to take the opposite side of this. The kid is a head case. The kid can't stay healthy, whether that's part of the head case and not fighting through some things. I mean, let's face it, these guys have bumps and bruises from the time they show up at training camp. If he would have come out all guns blazing, you know, he told us he's 110%. And I even remember back then I said, you know, was thinking 110% of what? You know, and you know, he's going to surface somewhere. I think someone's going to kick his tires, you know, the Raiders or somebody like that. But I think his day as an NFL receiver is pretty much over, and it didn't surprise me a bit. And to go, and I think they're doing him a courtesy.
No question. There's an advantage to being letting go early in camp, and I do imagine somebody will invite him to camp.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, if he they still have to pay him right now because he's being waived injured, and basically that means too that he can be claimed off of waivers, and if not, then they have to come to some sort of injury settlement, which I suppose they probably will. And the other option is signing him back to the or designated him back to the injured reserve list. But I mean they've done with him, you know. I just can't see him placed on him even on injured reserve right now.
I think he the Lima Swede era is over. The other piece of news, this doesn't surprise me so much, is Thaddeus Gibson, the Steeler pick who out of Ohio State last year, who ended up getting claimed when the Steelers – he got taken from the practice squad, right, Dave?
I can't remember if he didn't clear waivers or if he made – I don't think he even cleared waivers, David. I think they tried to sneak him. See, that was that time when Aaron Smith had torn his biceps and also –
Yeah, it was during the season. They took him off the 53,
right.
Tried to move him to the practice squad.
And a lot of people are still aggravated about that move. And it wasn't just because Aaron Smith. Brett Kiesel was dinged up at that time. It seemed like it was like a quad or a hamstring with him. They were short on defensive linemen, and they had to activate Steve McClendon. From the practice squad. And even Tomlin was asked about it, and, you know, Gibson was the low man on the totem pole because
he's a fifth-round pick out of Ohio State, right?
He was the fourth-rounder, I believe. Yes.
Okay.
And you know, I think they really liked him. I think the intention was to stash him on the practice squad until this year. They ended up losing him, and that ended up being, you know, to the 49ers, who he didn't, you know, evidently didn't last long. In fact, the first preseason game for the 49ers, he never even saw a defensive snap. I believe he was only out there for special teams. Of course, I'm not sure how good of a fit of a, you know, he is for their system over there, but you know, I'm with you. It's not surprising that they try to put a waiver claim in on him, and I think it also might signal a little bit maybe of their concerns with the progress of Jason Worlds. And let's face it, Chris Carter, even if he makes this roster, it's going to be a full year development on him as well. So even if they could have got him back, it was not a guarantee he'd make the 53, but maybe he could finally get to the practice squad where they wanted him initially.
Yeah, I think it's always a thing. We see this throughout sports. If you've been with an organization and there's a relationship there, there's a lot, oftentimes room for you to get a second chance or at least a second look. The Steelers drafted the kid for a reason. They liked something about him. And the fact that he didn't stick with the Niners and didn't stick through this early part of camp indicates that, you know, he's unlikely to be James, turn into be James Harrison. But a guy that, you know, the Steelers saw some potential in. So why not bring him in and kick the tires if they had the opportunity? Unfortunately, they didn't. It looks like he'll be in Chicago, right?
No, it's the Redskins.
Right, yeah. Chicago let him go,
the 49ers let him go. Both the Steelers, the Redskins, and the Bears put in waiver claims on him, and then, of course, went to the lowest record. Another quick note on Gibson, if you remember back, this is a kid that his progress was even slowed last offseason after they drafted him because of that funky graduation rule as well. So this guy's...
Ohio State finishes late, so he's not allowed to do the OTAs and that kind of stuff.
Right, so this kid's head's probably still swimming. He just needs somebody to work with him, and they probably saw the talent there, and that's why they went after him. And who knows? You know, he's probably not likely to make the Redskins roster. We'll see. And they might get him back, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't ever expect to see him in the black and gold at this point. But so let's get into into the action tonight. What are the things that you're focused on looking at this game, your highlights, and I'll give you some of mine, and let's get into the juicy stuff.
Yeah, I just posted before we got on today a post of the seven things. I do this weekly before every game, even preseason as well, seven things I'm kind of looking for. Sort of the obvious ones, I guess, would be Tony Hills. He's going to be getting a start at right guard this week. Chris Scott, of course, started there last week and really looked kind of overwhelmed. He looked kind of confused, you know, on his assignments, on some plays, especially on some twist and all like that. So, you know, they're going to take a hard look at Tony Hills this week. And I've got to be honest, I didn't have him penciled in on my 53-man roster just yet because of all the talk of Chris Scott early in camp. But now it looks as if Hills is going to – and Hills – hey, let's face it, Hills graded out good, you know, according to me, last week against the Redskins, as he played both left tackle and the right guard spot. So now he'll get to show what he has against the first teamers. And, you know, that'll be interesting to watch and to see if he can add some position flexibility, as Tomlin likes to call it. And if he fares well tonight, you really have to, you know, like his shot at maybe even the starting right guard spot, which I'm not really ready to designate him that just yet. But, of course, he would be somebody that would give you flexibility at the left tackle spot and the right guard spot. So that's the first thing. I mentioned Curtis Brown. You know, it's his first time in a Steeler uniform underneath the lights at Heinz Field tonight. You know, the stage is set for this kid to shine tonight. And I'll be looking at, you know, as I mentioned earlier, will he line up outside? Will they use him more in a nickel role? And, you know, how is his tackling, coverage skills, all the things that go along with that. In addition to that, I suspect he'll be on the special teams unit. So that's I've got a more in-depth on that on the blog. Moving forward, Jericho Cotchery, very, very excited to see this guy tonight. He's you know, microwaved, as Mike Tomlin liked to say this past week, force-fed the playbook, if you will. And this is a smart kid, you know, kind of he's up there. He's played quite a few years with the Jets and all. I call him more of a
– I like this line. Did you hear his line from the before practice on the other day? He said, I had a choice last night, either watch the Jets or stick my head in the playbook. So I knew, didn't look like a fool out here today.
Yeah.
I stuck my head in the playbook.
Yeah. You got to like that. He looks like Steelers material. I kind of refer to him right now as a Hines Ward insurance policy. He kind of mirrors a lot of what he does playing in the slot like that. He's able to find the soft zones, in the zone and move the chains type guy. And, you know, if need be, he can line up outside as well. And very knowledgeable, very experienced receiver. So I'm excited to see him get quite a few snaps tonight. Jason Worlds, who I kind of tagged on to when we were talking about Thaddeus Gibson there, is the next one I want to watch. He looked timid still last week to me, getting caught up inside sometimes on some runs, not he's not reacting. He's still thinking about what he's doing. And, you know, we've heard Keith Butler, the Steelers linebackers coach, kind of, you know, sort of take a shot at him through the media here over the course of the training camp. And, you know, the Steelers really need this guy to step up, especially with James Harrison and the possibility of him with this back injury not being 100% all year, because if they have to take Lawrence Timmons and move him from inside to outside, you know, Timmons can do that. That's not a problem. It's just what you're going to lose inside when you do that. And so I'm really looking for Worlds, hopefully, to make a better showing tonight against the Eagles. Cameron Hayward, who had a great first game as a rookie last week against the Redskins, he's going to be faced tonight with the Michael Vick, Vince Young combo of two quarterbacks that are mobile and not afraid to, you know, to take off with the ball. So, you know, one of the duties tonight is to hold that point where he's at. And if he's not the guy on passing downs that's able to get to the quarterback, able to force these guys back inside to help, to where his help is. So, you know, that's going to be something to watch there as well. I expect another great game out of him tonight. Two more of these left. Jonathan Dwyer, of course, this kid, I kind of titled him the biggest loser or the biggest winner, kind of playing off the biggest loser with the weight loss that he's had. He's lost probably about 15 to 20 pounds, according to work.
I just want to be on record as not believing that. I just don't think it's possible to lose 20 pounds in 10 days, no matter how hard you're working, unless he came in so ridiculously out of shape. But anyway, it's me nitpicking.
Yeah, you know, he as I mentioned last week out in that Redskins game, it looked like he still had a little bit of spare tire. Looked like he, you know, has a Krispy Kreme membership card still. So I'm with you. I mean, I think it's possible to lose that 15 pounds maybe since the start of training camp. I mean, let's face it, that's what, about 7.5 pounds a week. And if he's been after it, I see that as a possibility. And we've talked about this kid all summer long during the lockout too, David. You know, I'm not so concerned about what he, you know, does with the ball. It's what he does without. And I saw some glimpses last week. I saw him chipping. He didn't look as confused last week. And Mike Tomlin pretty much said in his press conference this past week that, you know, Dwyer's going to get an extended look here because Baron Batch is out for the year with this ACL injury. Which, by the way, if you're listening, that ACL injury surgery went well for Batch yesterday, according to reports. But Dwyer's going to get an extended look tonight, and I'm excited to kind of break down his performance. The last thing might seem insignificant that I have on my list, David, and that's the Gunner situation on special teams. It was reported that William Gay and Keenan Lewis both were working as the first team gunners. And normally that's a spot held by, you know, Arnez Battle on one of those spots. So, you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to free up that roster spot, that sixth wide receiver spot for, you know, maybe an extra offensive lineman. Who knows, maybe a fourth tight end like Wesley Saunders or, you know, maybe even an extra linebacker in this kid Morty Ivey's case, who's been right. Fantastic. So, you know, I'll be interested to watch really how much they use Gay and Lewis and maybe Brown as a gunner. And how little they use Battle in these situations, because I think that'll be a very telling sign of how the construction of this 53-man roster goes. So why don't I throw it to you, and you give me a few of your things.
Yeah, good stuff as always, and a lot of those things are things I had keyed as well. One of the things that I think has been a little overblown here, everybody likes to get on a topic and it goes way too far to one side, and they get all bent out of shape about it. This is a kickoff rule. And, you know, I generally understand why people are against it. And I love how in the media people declare, well, this is good for the Steelers because their kick teams are so terrible that it's actually advantageous. We don't know whether it's good or not good for the Steelers. We'll see what happens. You could make the argument maybe you're taking Antonio Brown out of the game. But the reality is, This isn't going to be as much of a factor as people are making it out to be. Certainly there will be more touchbacks than there have been in the past. But as we get into the cold weather and the course of the season, as the kicker's legs get a little more tired, you're not going to see every ball going into the end zone. And I think the Steeler-Redskin game actually had the most touchbacks of any game in the preseason in the first week. So I think the Pittsburgh media has jumped all over this as this terrible rule on kickoffs. I think it's much ado about nothing, but I will be interested to see some of the coaching staff actually talked about this, them kicking the ball, maybe kicking it a little higher and a little shorter to see how their kick coverage teams perform so that they can get a review of these guys, be able to grade them out a little bit. So I'll be interested to see on the Steelers' first couple kickoffs who actually lines up on the kick team. Because there have been few chances and there won't be as many chances in the course of the preseason, I think that will be very indicative of guys who are probably going to make the team, the guys you see out there on the first two times maybe on the kick unit. So that's something I'm interested to watch. Also, the linebacker play, you talked a little bit about Worlds. I would talk about Stevenson Sylvester. Very interested to see how much time he gets, how they use him. See if he's playing inside with Larry Foote, how they use those guys, how they pair up, what's going on with them. Always fun to watch Ziggy Hood, his maturation process. See if he gets the start tonight. I imagine he will. I from what you said, you hit it right on about Kiesel and Aaron Smith. Yeah, so we'll get a big dose of those, Cam Haywood and Ziggy Hood. And so it's fun to watch those guys. But the corner play at the end of the day, if there's just one thing I had to watch the whole game, and if I had, game tape, just watch how these corners go, see how LeBeau decides to. This is my view on this, and I'm sure you come out the same way. This is no time to soften up your coverage to protect guys. This is time to expose guys. So, it's time you leave them out there every once in a while. You play your normal defense. You're not going to game plan for the Eagles. But this is not, if you feel like a guy's maybe a little soft, this isn't when you go give him help. This is when you leave him alone and see if he can make the plays so you get the good evaluative process going and you figure out who's going to make this squad. And, yeah, Curtis Brown is a guy who I guess really did have a good week of practice. I can't imagine it would be the case. But if for whatever reason Brian McFadden can't go, there's now a 15% chance Curtis Brown would be the starter there. I mean, he's got to be William Gay is first in line, and Keenan Lewis is in line as well. But if this kid does well the next couple of weeks, there's a decent chance that halfway through the season he's all of a sudden your nickelback, and then who knows where things go from there.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I would think it might be easier to ease him into a nickel role first, if Gay had to move outside and if you weren't, totally in love with Keenan Lewis starting outside. I think that's still got to play itself out yet. But, another thing I think you'll see the Steelers do this year is teams try to spread them out this year with four or five wide receivers is, Curtis Brown could be that, fourth defensive back on the field possibly if they if everybody, is healthy when the season starts, including McFadden and all. They signed Kevin Dockery and Macho Harris, part of the move when Lima Swede and Eugene Bright were waived the other day. Neither of these two, everybody's getting excited about them, but I went back and watched film a little bit that I could find on both these guys, and I just don't see, unless a rash of injuries happen and somebody's lost for the year or something, I can't see Macho Harris and Dockery making this roster. So it is what it is. Now, will they watch these final cut downs, for maybe a corner possibly, but even then, how hard is it going to be, unless it's somebody that's already been there, say like an Anthony Madison who was claimed already by somebody, unless he's released to come back, I really don't see that as a case. I think what you see is what you get as far as defensive backs, and you're right, the sink or swim. I even joked on Twitter last night, I would rather see Donovan Warren, Curtis Brown, and Keenan Lewis play pretty much the whole game tonight to just let them sink or swim and throw them in the deep end of the pool. So, but you're right, those are some good things to watch tonight.
All right, Dave. So we get this going on. What's then? I guess the next preseason game is a week from Saturday. Is that right?
That sounds right. The third one. Who do they play? Let's see. Carolina's the last game. I can't even remember who the third one is, but regardless, yeah, it'll be next week, so they'll have a little bit longer week to prepare.
Yeah, so I imagine, you know, they're done with Latrobe now, very short stint up there this year, not a lot of practices open to the public. So they come back, and they'll obviously have to have Friday as a travel day, be off on Friday, get back in and deal with stuff, and then they'll probably get closer to dealing with an actual week. We're having the game on a Saturday. Being in there early, they can have a, you know, again, they probably won't do any game planning, but they can really start to kind of get the system in place. And I'm wondering if the cut down dates, I think, are August 28th or 9th, and then, you know, the end of August 30th, I think, and then September 5th. I wonder if the Steelers will decide that having 80 guys around isn't as wieldy as you would like it to be, and it's a bit unwieldy. And that, you know, you'll see 10 guys go here after this game.
I doubt it. I think they stick to the numbers and stick to the date, because just in case of injuries, you never know who's going to be going down. And I think they stay with what they got. And the Falcons, by the way, the Falcons is the third preseason game. And kind of tagging back onto that real quick, that's going to be an excellent test, because usually the third preseason game is when people play, you know, they play their guys quite a bit, Matt Ryan, Roddy White, and all those guys. And, you know, that was the Steelers matchup week one of last year during the regular season. So, you know, circle the next week's game on the calendar as far as your corner, as far as the Steelers cornerbacks go, because that's going to be a damn good test right there of what you might see during the regular season against a good quarterback that along with some good receivers on the field. But yeah, as far as a roster cut down, I don't know, anything's possible the way this lockout's run and all like that. I just see them sticking to the numbers and doing the cut downs at the appropriate time to the appropriate numbers, and that starts after the third preseason game against the Falcons.
Right, and as you said, that's a Saturday. They come back and play Thursday against Carolina. And short week, nothing going on. You know, nobody's. I'm sure the top 10 guys won't get snaps in that game. So, yeah, that's another reason to keep the guys around, so that they have bodies to throw at Carolina, because that doesn't mean much. We've had some focus already on Baltimore. Do you think the Steelers are? Do you think Mike Tomlin's had any conversations about the Ravens game internally with his coaching staff?
Oh, I'm sure they're starting to put some game planning together and all for that. You know, one thing that we didn't get to on the last podcast that I meant to this week was the Lee Evans signing. By the Ravens, or not signing, they traded for him with the Bills there. And you had to see that one coming with the youth and inexperience on the Ravens roster there.
Well, what was funny there is the Bills said that they were open to trading Lee Evans, and the deal got done within 24 hours.
Yeah, and I think they already had the dance partner lined up in Baltimore there. So, you know, that really didn't surprise me. Evans is a guy that the Ravens have learned from the Steelers, I think. They know they have to stretch the field. Lee Evans, that's his type game. Not nearly as fast as a Mike Wallace is, but he does give you the ability to stretch the field. You know, he's kind of had that one-trick pony tag that Mike Wallace has carried these first few years with him as only being the deep guy. And I think the Bills kind of didn't use Lee Evans correctly throughout the course of his year, and he played with multiple quarterbacks and multiple offensive coordinators while he was in Buffalo as well. But back to the game planning thing, yeah, you have to think they're starting to worry or not worry about certain things as far as Baltimore goes. But hey, let's face it, Baltimore's got their worries too. They've got Jimmy Smith, who seems to be a little bit hampered with his conditioning starting of camp. And I think Hines Ward even said that he even is paying attention to him, that he even watched the Baltimore Eagles game last week and was focusing in on Jimmy Smith. So, yeah, I definitely think they're game planning, and why wouldn't you at this point?
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's take we'll get way into this roster stuff next week after this game, and we'll spend most of our time the next 2 weeks really focusing on the roster. You mentioned Morty Ivey. This would be a ninth linebacker they would carry, and we've talked about how maybe even the 52nd spot, but certainly the 53rd spot on the roster is not a position-specific spot. You know, we've got numbers. They're going to carry a certain number at each position. And then they're going to be probably, I would imagine at the end of the day, two spots. And they will come from guys who impress on special teams, or guys who where the Steelers are particularly deep, but a particularly talented guy that they might not want to risk putting through waivers so that they could lose him and not get him to the practice squad. So let's just talk again about the edge guys here. Morty Ivey, obviously one, and I guess in our conversations, Morty Ivey has taken you just changed the name from Mario Harvey to Morty Ivey. He's not an undrafted free agent, kid out of West Virginia, but he's been the guy who's impressed. It sounds like from the reports in terms of the Pittsburgh media, he's got a guy who has a real shot to make the team. Any other guys? We've talked about how Arnaz Battle is his spot that somebody could very well be taking. The other guys, Wes Saunders, we've mentioned. Is there anybody else who's jumped out in your mind? Does the fact that Tony Hills is doing so well mean that Arnaz Battle, they might carry an extra offensive lineman? We talked about Williams, some of the other guys.
I tell you, it brings into question. You know, Steelers normally like to only carry 9 of these guys and keep 7 of them active on game day. So, you know, if you're going to keep a 10th one, you know, does the extra?
You're talking about offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line. But I mean, I guess it all comes down to Hill's performance and Scott's performance over the next couple of games, because I could see a scenario where Chris Scott actually, they try to slide him back to the practice squad.
And you got to think if that happens, he'll get through. Yeah. I got to think actually, if either one happens, Tony Hills obviously would be cut because he's not eligible to go to the practice squad. So that maybe protects him a little bit more. Because they can keep Scott in the organization. And I just got to assume he's going to go through waivers if he gets waived.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, but based on his one game of film, I mean, that's the only film that you have on the guy right now. If you lay him low out, you know, against the third teams for the rest of preseason or whatnot, you know, I wouldn't think there's going to be that many takers on him. You mentioned Wesley Saunders. You know, I'm really thinking there's an opportunity maybe for a fourth tight end on the roster. You've brought that up several times. Our buddy.
Feel for John Gilmore, how he's done?
Yeah, I think he's improving. I liked his blocking. I mean, let's face it, this guy's not going to be a guy that you're counting on to catch 30 balls or anything. I think it all comes down to his blocking. I think he's a one-year Band-Aid, if you will. I think they want Wesley Saunders to be that guy going forward, and that's why I don't think, you know, Saunders is enough of a big name. You know, during the draft process, I'm not sure he sneaks through waivers or not. Now, it all is going to come down to his blocking. I'm convinced the guy can run pass batters and catch the ball. So he's another name. Our buddy Anthony Gray, which we got to apologize. That audio was just awful last week, and Anthony's agreed to come on with us next week. He's another guy that maybe you maybe Chris Hoke doesn't make this roster, but I don't see how that's a possibility. I think Gray is a perfect candidate for a practice squad spot as the heir apparent to Ziggy Hood. So that's a guy to keep an eye on.
And McClendon, again, what, you know, he's a guy they clearly like him. They like him more than they like Sonny Harris, obviously. Does he have a chance?
Man, I don't think so. I think they would rather go with the youth here. Put it this way, I think if McClendon makes it, I think it means Hoke doesn't. So. But I think Hoke is just so versatile in emergency situation to be able to line up, outside at the left defensive end spot that, you know, I think this is his last hurrah and they give it to him. And I would really be surprised, you know, if he didn't make the roster. So I think Steve McClendon's going to go by the wayside. And I think Anthony Gray's headed towards a practice squad.
Yeah, and McClendon goes by the wayside because, again, I think he's not eligible for the practice squad at this point.
Exactly, and the same with Grisham as well. And real quick on the practice squad, I had an interesting question this week about, you know, if McFadden's injury ended up being bad. Actually, this is more PUP than his practice squad, but just the eligibility-wise. Someone said, well, can't we just put McFadden on the PUP list? And I just wanted to describe this out to you, the rules of that. For a guy to be eligible for what they call the reserve PUP, which is during the season, he has to be placed on active PUP before he even practices at training camps. So that's why you see teams be careful with like a Hines Ward and a Chris Kimuatu is they,
you know, you can't retroactive it. It's not like a disabled list in baseball.
Exactly. And if they were to backslide or have problems or whatnot, you know, during training, you know, during their progress rehabilitation process, well, then if they're on the active PUP during training camp, then you can slide them to the reserve PUP. Now, of course, they would have to miss the first 6 weeks, but at least you're not eating up a roster spot. So that should answer that question. situation. As far as practice squad goes, the rule's kind of weird on this practice squad eligibility as far as accrued seasons and how many games you played on the active roster in accrued season. But I'm pretty sure that Todd Grisham and who was the
McClendon.
I don't think either one of those two guys are eligible. So it's either make the roster or hit the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look into this again, and I've been operating just on the assumption that a third-year guy just is not eligible. It's first 2 years, guys, and that, as you said, I think if you, in your first year you were active 14 games, you might not be active or eligible the next year, but we'll clear that up to make sure we got it down exactly. But I think that's the rough parameters that we're working on. Any concerns about the specialty guys? Sepulveda looked very good. I've always been a big Sepulveda fan. I'm glad they brought him back. I have no strong opinion about Swisham one way or the other. It's fine for me that he's our kicker. I don't have a strong view. Greg Warren has done an acceptable job, and as it's always said, if he's not talked about, he's doing just fine. Anything in your world there that jumps out at you?
No, you know, Swayze Waters, I mean, the guy's got a cannon, evidently, and unfortunately didn't get to show it last week against the Redskins. I think you'll see a lot of Swayze Waters tonight. I think tonight's Swayze Waters' night. I think they'll let Swisham, you know, kind of take the day off or whatnot. You know, he might get a kick or two here or there. But, you know, I think they'll get an extended look at Swayze. But let's face it, Swisham was signed to a four-year deal, although not very expensive deal. He's still not above being cuttable, you know, even with the modest signing bonus or whatnot. So, I mean, if Swayze nails one for like 56 or 58 or something like that, I foresee Tomlin giving him a chance to do that tonight. Who knows, you know, but I don't think they're married long-term to either one of these guys right now. And like you said, if you're not hearing their names, that's a good sign. And you know, Sepulveda, I think he's fine as long as, you know, evidently this knee has a little bit more elasticity in it after this last surgery. So maybe they just put some mechanical parts in there.
Some duct tape and a crank.
Yeah, spitting clay and duct tape, man. That'll fix anything. And, you know, however long he lasts. But I think he's your kicker for sure.
Yeah, let's play this for the last 2 minutes. Let's play the game we played last week. I'll ask you about seven or eight guys. Just give me one or two sentences on how you feel they've come through. Obviously, we'll have a lot more to say about a lot of these guys after tonight's action. And I just want to let everybody know that we do appreciate all the feedback we're getting, and we've been getting a ton of it lately. Keep it coming. You can use the email. You can get us on Twitter, and you can even hit this hotline. And we're going to try, as the season goes on, maybe to find a way to do one or two interactive things, whether it's a chat post-game, whether it's a call-in thing. We'll figure out if that works. But any thoughts that you have, please pass those along and get involved. Dave, all right, let me throw some names at you. And some of these are the reason I'm asking is just, you know, you don't hear about all 80 guys over the course of a week or over the course even of 2 weeks. So and some of them I get some opinions about. Willie Colon.
Awesome first game, man. He looks back 100% ready to throw people around. Really like what I saw first game.
Larry Foote.
I thought he was one of the guys that kind of stuck out in that first preseason game in the extended time. He looked like the guy on defense that knew what was going on and playing 100%.
Marcus Gilbert.
Sketchy first game to be expected. Missed a lot of time in training camp. It's going to be a project.
I want to chime in here because I got in a little Twitter conversation yesterday about who's a bust and who isn't a bust and whether you know, different guys could be considered a bust, and certainly Lima Swede fits in that category. And there was a lot of conversation that Kendrell Bell might be considered a bust, and I just want to be on record that, not that I'm right, but I want to be fully on record as saying Kendrell Bell is the furthest thing from a bust ever. You don't become defensive rookie of the year and become second team all pro, start, I guess, I don't know exactly how many of the first 32 games of his career he started, but 20 some. And then he hurts his knee, which is when you're a scouting director and you're Kevin Colbert and you're doing things and you make drafts, you draft guys on what you think they can become and what their potential is. And Kendrell Bell was all that and more. And then he gets injured. And you don't, you know, if you're drafting Greg Oden, you have to be concerned about injury. But when you're drafting an athletic guy who doesn't have a history of injury and he gets injured, then the whole parameters of how you're defining his career become different. So, you know, Gabe Rivera gets paralyzed. It's a tragic event. It doesn't mean the guy's a bust. It means something unforeseen happened in his life and his career that derails things.
Yeah, and our my buddy Mark Cabali is the one I think that's kind of throwing it out there. And I love Mark. Mark's been great to this show, too. So I'm on the side with you, David. And the only reason I put him up as one of four people in the Kevin Colbert era on my poll is because he is being talked about so much on Twitter. That was part of the debate. I had 1,000 people vote in that poll that I put up yesterday, and it was like 1 or 2%. I mean, such a minute number that voted for Bell. It ended up being, I believe, the linebacker.
Alonzo Jackson.
Yeah, Alonzo Jackson ended up winning it over Lima Swede by a hair, and Ricardo Coakley was a distant kind of third in there. But yeah, no way Kendrell Bell's considered a bust. Jackson by far, I think, is. Swede is right there with him. I mean, it's neck and neck, as that poll proved. So you had 900 something people along with you and along with me on that. But it's nice to throw those out in debate sometimes.
Sure.
If they're close.
Sure.
But I'm with you. I don't think that was close.
Heath Miller.
Oh, boy, looking for a monster year. You can't cover everybody the Steelers are going to put out there this year as long as they're healthy. The guy was 2 for 2 on his blocks last year. I think he's back in line for a monster year.
A guy who I thought, I didn't get to watch the tape as closely as you did, but a guy who certainly saw a lot of action, was involved in a lot of plays, Ryan Mundy.
I thought Mundy played good. He played 70-something odd snaps in that game. I mean, he, like I mentioned, I think the other day, I know he was in the ice tub or whatnot. He needs to work. It's not going to hurt him. He's not Troy Polamalu. He'll never be confused for that, but I think he can give you some snaps if you need them.
And one last name, and I'll tell you my piece first. I had to chuckle in the first drive of the game. The Steelers go deep to Mike Wallace. And he's open by 3 steps. I mean, I just got such a kick out of that. I mean, Ben overthrew him by 5 steps, but so it goes. It's just, this guy's coming off a 20-yard per catch average the season before. You know he's a deep threat. You go to him on the third, fourth, fifth play, whatever it was, the offensive drive, and he's run by two Washington DBs, and he's 3 steps clear. I enjoyed it. He's I guess he's flying under the radar because there's so much conversation. Hines always draws so much attention. Swede drew a lot of attention for the wrong reasons. And then Cotri and the young guys for Antonio Brown playing well, Sanders being hurt, Cotri for the obvious new guy things. Mike Wallace is totally flying under the radar. Any thoughts?
I'm glad to see him fly under the radar. I hope he does, because that means he's going to fly right past some people. You just can't state how important it is to have a guy like this that can stretch the field and take, tie up a cornerback and a safety for most of the game, because that's always going to be a threat. If you're able to hit on him 1 or 2 times early in the game, it changes the whole complexion of the game. And yeah, he ran right by him. And in fact, it was the other drive, too, that Brown left, which I don't think hit Antonio Brown on the outside. So, man, Ben, 4,000 yards is an easy goal this year. Now, I'm not sure if Wallace is going to get those 2,000 yards he's shooting for, but heck, at the chunks of yardage that this guy gets, he don't need too many catches every game to, to get there. So definitely excited to see him. Just hope he stays healthy and we'll be fine.
All right, Dave, anything before we close shop here? We got a kickoff tonight, 8 o'clock, which isn't ideal with Fox carrying the game nationally for those on the East Coast and attending the game. A little small crimp in my style. You and I are going to try to get back at things maybe tomorrow afternoon, late-ish tomorrow afternoon, or certainly we will have something up, episode 9 up by Saturday afternoon. So we'll have our game thoughts and everything else coming back at you in the next 36 hours, I could say. But anything before we close?
Yeah, I'll be working through the night, as usual, breaking down film. I ought to have a lot of stuff up on the site tomorrow. I will be on Trib Live Radio tomorrow afternoon, I believe about 3 or 3:30, giving my thoughts on the game as well. So make sure to tune in on me there as well. Follow both of us on Twitter, at Steelers Depot and at Hammer Speaks. And please, if you like my work on SteelersDepot.com, please visit the site, look over in the right-hand corner, and see the vote vote for the Pittsburgh blog link and click that and give me a vote if you care to, and I certainly would appreciate it. And everybody, please enjoy the game tonight, and go Steelers.
That'll wrap it up. The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 8.